to the UK we go. Ben Bland is our correspondent. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Andrew.
Charlie Gard's parents had another day in court and they've stormed out.
Yeah, seemingly frustrated. This was to do with a discussion over the measurements of Charlie Gard's skull. So they disagreed with the measurements that the hospital had taken. They said their own measurements showed that his skull has grown, and so that they conclude that there is brain development and activity. The hospital says the skull hasn't grown. And then it went into a discussion. The judge was asking them about this issue of whether Charlie feels pain or not, and what they had said at a previous hearing. And at one point, Charlie Gard's father said, stood up and said, "Look, I thought this was supposed to be independent." And then he and his partner left the courtroom. Since that happened, there's been a further development. There's a doctor in the US who said that he thinks that there's a 10% chance that he could help improve Charlie Gard's condition, and he's offering to come to the UK if the court adjourns to allow that to happen. And just I'm sure you're familiar with the case, but just to recap, the condition that this 11-month-old baby has, a very rare genetic condition, it means that he can't move, hear, breathe unaided or swallow, and the parents have been keen to take him for treatment in the US, experimental treatment. All the doctors, most of them I should say, feel that it would just prolong his suffering, and they argue he should be allowed to die with dignity. The Pope and Donald Trump have even intervened, saying they would support the parents in whatever they want to do, but it's gone right up the court system, it's gone to the European Court of Human Rights, and the judges have all been unanimous. They think that life support should be switched off. This latest hearing happened because Great Ormond Street Hospital applied for a fresh hearing just to sort of to reach a, you know, final decision on it all.
It's a mess, and all our hearts break. Now, talking about breaking hearts, Theresa May has been talking to BBC Radio 5 Live about that election and admitted that she had a little tear.
Yes, she said that when she found out of what the exit poll was saying on election night, and suggesting that it would see her lose her majority, she said it came as a complete shock. It took a few minutes to sink in. She said her husband was the person who told her, and when she heard about that news, she said she cried a little tear. But she said she doesn't watch the exit polls. She said, "I have a bit of superstition about things like that." And this was their first interview, you know, the first sort of analytical interview looking back on the election that she's given, and quite wide ranging. She was asked about whether she regretted calling the election. She said no, because she felt it was the right thing to do at the time, and all the polls had been pointing, opinion polls had pointed to her increasing her majority. But she, you know, she was also criticised for not acknowledging the less than desirable results she achieved in Downing Street the day after the election. And she said her priority was to give people confidence of knowing that a government would be formed. So I think that whole thing about shedding a tear is perhaps trying to show a bit more of a human side, Andrew, because, you know, she was accused of being a bit robotic and repetitive during the campaign.
Well, Hillary Clinton cried for 3 days straight, I understand, after the election, so shedding a little tear.
It's a very British response, isn't it? Stiff upper lip. We don't cry for 3 days, we shed a little tear.
Very quickly, good news for David Bowie fans. Of course, we know the song Under Pressure with Queen, and it turns out when they did that Queen and David Bowie session, there were more songs recorded and now being released.
Well, I'm not sure about being released, but apparently they exist somewhere. This is according to a roadie who used to work with them. He said that the two recorded all these raw rock classics in a studio that never saw the light of day, and that they exist somewhere. These revelations coming in a book, and this was an exclusive interview with the Guardian newspaper in the UK. So those people who are big fans of Bowie and Freddie Mercury may at some point, who knows, be treated to hearing these hidden tracks.
That'd be fantastic. I'd snap it up. Ben Bland from the BBC in the UK, and I thank you so much for your time today.